Welcome to the Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. Larry is the author of over 40 books, the founder of Dove International, a worldwide family of churches and ministries in six continents, and has over 50 years of leadership experience. He and his guests will share inspirational leadership insights from their journey with God. These insights, gleaned from serving leaders in many nations, will transform your life and leadership. For more information on Larry's books and resources, visit LarryKreider.com.
Welcome to the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast. Larry Kreider here again in the studio today for another episode is Merle Shank. Welcome, Merle.
Hey, thank you. Great to be back.
Just loved the last time we were together and talking about leadership and all the things you've learned over the years about leadership. And I would just like to continue on from where we were last time. We were talking about, I mean, you didn't use this term, but I heard you use it already, how our God is a strategist and how he pulls things together. Let's talk about leadership from the perspective of God the strategist.
Yeah. So Romans 12 says, to everyone, grace has been given, right? That we should minister or function according to the grace that God, you know, if prophecy, let us prophesy.
Right.
Administration, let us minister, right? And goes through this, Romans 12, verse 8, I think it is. But, you know, really the key is that God is this amazing strategy. He has deposited, and that's really where we left off last time,
right.
Where he has deposited what is needed for his kingdom to come in our generation. He has deposited that already in the lives of people. I believe that,
you know,
what he has called us to do. You know, he's not mean. He's not saying do this thing and that then not giving us you know, the tools or the ability to do it.
Yeah.
But that ability is there. And so as leaders, that's part of our job is to unlock that in people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just accomplish hard tasks, but also accomplish soft tasks of helping people, you know, step into their strengths and step into what God has called and deposited inside of them and see that come out.
Now let's take another step. I've heard you often talk about staffing our weaknesses.
Right.
Now what does that mean?
So, you know, we have, every one of us has strengths and weaknesses, right? And we're not talking about moral weaknesses.
Right.
Okay. But we're talking about like, hey, I am better at this than I am that. Like I have had to learn administration, right? Like I'm not that, I am more like a conceptual thinker.
Right.
I'm not always a linear thinker. I mean, just me personally, right? Mm-hmm. So I can give 80% of my strength, you know, 80% of my resources, 80% of my time to trying to be better at my weaknesses.
Yeah.
And the concept there is that, and I've heard this by other people, I'm not sure exactly who, probably many people, but, you know, if you only put your time, energy, and effort into building your weaknesses, then you'll only ever have, like, mediocre weaknesses.
That's so
like
true.
You're never going to turn your weaknesses into a superior strength.
Correct.
You can get strong in them, and that's good, that's fine, but you know, that's kind of what will hold us in mediocrity, where if we put that same energy and effort into building our strengths and our natural giftings and who God has called us to be, then that will be what actually causes us to excel, right? And go beyond mediocre and go beyond. And then but the key there is to staff or find other things, other people where their strengths cover our weaknesses. Where what God has given them and how he has wired them covers areas that he hasn't wired us for.
So good.
And that's okay. And that's the need of teams, right?
Like more than okay. I mean, it's really the way God designed it, really.
Right. Yeah, we're not supposed to gather people on our teams that are exactly like us,
right?
Like they need to be different than us so that we actually have a well-rounded team.
Mm-hmm.
And we see things, right? Because as perceptive and as even as prophetic, right, or whatever, as visionary leaders are, there's always blind spots. We all have blind spots. And even though, you know, the Bible says when we prophesy in part, right?
Like exactly.
We never see as an individual, we never see a full picture. And that's the importance of teams and people who don't think like we think. If we can work out the relational aspects to work well together, then you see the synergy of our strengths coming together to accomplish so much more.
That's so good.
Than we could ever do on ourselves, than we could ever do by ourselves.
Yeah.
And so, that's the kind of that whole thing, right? Where I think was it Jacob? He says he blessed his sons, really his grandsons, leaning on his staff in Hebrews, right? Where, and that staff he had gotten through wrestling with God, right? Well, because his hip was out of joint. Many times we go through seasons in our life that causes us to wrestle with God. We find out our weakness.
That's so good.
We find out places that we actually need a staff. We actually need something else to help us do life. But it was because of that staff. It says he prophesied and he blessed his sons leaning on his staff. And so I think, you know, when we talk about the kingdom of God being multi-generational and we want to see that kind of blessing pass from one generation to the next, you know, it's the things that God actually in our wrestling with him that are added to our life that we figure out like, oh, I actually need help here in this area. Allows our longevity, that allows us to have longevity to be able to bless future generations.
Yeah, if we can just be free to be who God made us to be and then get people in our lives to do those things that we don't do very well and they love doing it and they're good at it.
Right, yes.
Really, they're good at it. For us to try, we'd mess it up.
Right, totally.
For those of you, and again, different parts of the world, we've been blessed to people from more than 170 nations listening to this podcast. And Merle and I are in a process of transition, succession right now. In a few months, you'll be the International Director of Dev International. And this is really the reason why many times, as you and I, Merle, have had conversations about this and where we go and what's going to look like in the future, I said many times to you, Merle, that don't try to be a Larry Kreider. We don't need another Larry Kreider. We need a Merle Shank.
See,
and that way, with your gifts and the people God brings around you, and you can go far ahead of people trying to be like somebody else.
Right.
So I just really affirm what you're saying. Let me ask
and
you.
I just have to cut in here.
Like, oh, you're allowed.
I so appreciate the fact that you say that because so many times, you know, it can just be like this unspoken expectation of like, okay, you know, here you
do it the way I do it,
right? Or like here I am without the years of experience. You know, you've had 44 years of ministry experience. Here I'm coming in with, you know, 20 or less, and you've had it at a high level, executive level, all this kind of stuff. And there's just no way that I can be that, right? Like I can't start where you leave off, and move as you would, right? Like,
right.
And so, but God has, you know, called people to walk together in teams. We have a great team here.
We do. We're very, very blessed. And that'll make the transition a real, real great, great blessing in the whole process. So, yeah, so good. I think that the example we often use is don't put on Saul's armor. You know, if David would have tried to put on Saul's armor, he couldn't have won the battle.
Right.
But he took his own armor, his slingshot, you know, and he did it the way God called him to do it. And so you'll do the same.
Yeah, and the reality is, too, within the Dove International family, like, you're not, like, handing the baton over to me and then heading off to, like, Bermuda somewhere.
Right.
You know, like I mean, you're allowed
to. I might visit Bermuda.
You're allowed to go there for a week or two, but then you have to come back. But, you know, the essence too, I mean, we really have the whole spiritual parents and spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers concept in Dev International and as one of our core foundations.
That's right.
And so you're going to be around to be you.
Exactly.
You're going to be around. Exactly. You and Laverne are welcome and a part of this family.
Right.
Right. Like you're going to be grandparents, great grandparents, all of that. And I love what Tony Fitzgerald says. He says, you know, the gifting remains.
Right.
Even if the government shifts.
Right. Right?
So the decision-making government direction is shifting to me, but the gifting of Larry Kreider will remain on you. And you're still going to be a father to many.
Exactly.
You're still going to be, you know, I mean, this leadership podcast is an amazing example of how you're going to continue to bless the earth with what God has placed inside of you.
Exactly. So it's been it's been an amazing process. So what do you say to a younger leader who would ask you for advice on how to be healthy? Say, I want to stay
healthy. How to be healthy, yeah.
How do I stay healthy?
Man. So I think recognize the season that you're in.
Okay.
There's different seasons. My wife and I, we have five children. And everyone, whether you're in leadership or not, go through different seasons of your life. It's really important to recognize what's appropriate for the season that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
There were times where Sheree could not be with me because she was with young children, or I needed to take care of the kids for her to go out and minister. Like there's this place where recognizing the season that you're in and the importance of what you're doing. So that's number one. Like don't try and be somewhere else. don't try and be in another season than the one you're actually in.
That's really good.
Own it and learn what you can from that. Sometimes we have, I call this like this proverbial longing, where we long for everything we don't have.
Right.
You know, we're just, you know, constantly longing for something else, no matter how blessed we are, no matter what season we're in, we're always longing for another one. And I think that's actually a trap.
I agree.
I think that, you know, really recognizing the season that we're in and owning it and being like, okay, here I am. And I tell this to in the school or the schools that I've been a part of, where like, hey, you know what? Like international ministry, international, you know, leadership, it sounds amazing. It sounds cool. The reality is, no matter where you are in the world, there you are.
That's right. Like, that's
like,
so true.
Like you gotta deal with you.
Right.
And it might be in a different context. And no matter how international you go or how international you become, you always become local again.
That's so good. So
you know?
True.
And so sometimes, you know, the challenges that we don't want to wrestle with and we try and deal with by going somewhere else, we actually just wind up dealing with those in, you know, those same challenges in a different context.
We take us with us, right?
Yes.
Exactly. That
totally.
Is really, really, totally. Really true.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think for younger leaders, really doing the hard work of learning how God has created you, mm-hmm. and learning who God has created you to be. Mm. I think like Jamie Winship talks about this whole identity process and identity
exchange.
Yeah,
talk exchange, about that for a minute. Wait.
You know, and I mean, he has some great podcasts out there and a book, Living Fearless, and that's
right.
really a huge blessing, I think, right now. And it's kind of, from my understanding, is, you know, getting popular in the body of Christ, where he just, you know, he takes people through this process of really hearing God's voice over who they are. And as I was reading his book, I was like, oh my goodness, like this is actually, like this is kind of putting into words my journey. Like, you know, where, you know, when in high school or middle school, high school, I was just like, God, so many people are talking about, where are you going in life? What are you doing next? What's the next season? And I didn't know. I was like, God, just tell me. Like, I just, who am I? And I felt like I heard the Lord speak very clearly to me, you know, of who I was to be. And that just kind of settled. When that happens, that kind of just settles you on the inside. Now, I didn't know how to work with that. I didn't know what to
do.
You know, I didn't know what to do, anything, you know, kind of beyond that. But it, you know, there's this place of just being settled in who you are.
Yeah.
And I think that's really key for young leaders, mm-hmm. is to hear from God who you are, because there's a ton of voices out there. You have your own voice. You have the voice of your parents somewhere in the back of your mind. You know, you have all that. You have the voice of the enemy trying to twist stuff and trying to get you to overcompensate for things, or, you know, trying to get you to work in areas that you're not good at by telling you you're not good at it. So then you try and prove the enemy wrong, all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And hearing the voice of God over just who you're called to be is super important. So finding out who God has created you to be. And then I feel like, and we've talked about this already a couple of times, but just, you know, helping other people in that process as well, helping them find who God has called them to be, and then encouraging them in that. Like, that's really the goal of leadership. And that's body, soul, and spirit. So I think one thing, you know, I went through Bible college, they taught theology, they taught us how to preach, they taught us, you know, to, it was a charismatic school, so like they taught us how to move the Holy Spirit and all of that. They didn't teach us how to break up knife fights between a husband and wife at like 2 a.m.
Right. You know,
like, and that was some of the practical stuff that we wound up dealing with, like of going in and the marriage counseling and financial counseling, like God was moving in powerful ways in the church that he had us plant, and people would be touched by God and healed by God, and we'd hear testimonies and all of that. But like, I figured out after a couple of years, you know, if we teach on marriage and finances, this is going to help a lot of people, you know? And it's so true that, you know, that was some of those core concepts that we wound up finding and discovering have really helped shift people's lives and really enabled them to maintain a high degree of change in their own life and transformation.
Yeah, I've often heard you talk about identity formation. What does that mean?
Well, that's kind of that whole process of saying like, okay, God, who am I?
Mm-hmm.
What have you called me to do? Like who do you say that I am? And then what do you want me to do with that?
Mm-hmm.
And where your identity is formed because of God's word. And his, so the Bible says this about faith, right? Like, and we, you know, it's important for leaders to stay in a place of faith.
Right.
Without faith, it is impossible to please God. That word without means to be outside of faith. It's impossible to please God, which means for me, this is very serious because one day I can be doing the same activity as the next day. One day in a place of faith, one day outside of the place of faith. And it's one is pleasing to God, one is not.
Wow.
And so staying in that place of faith with the Lord, and the Bible says that faith comes by hearing,
right?
Hearing by the word of God. That word is rhema.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the logos of God, it's the rhema of God. And one thing that I, like, this is kind of Merle's definition to rhema. I don't know if that's allowed or not, but like is the application of God's eternal truth applied to a moment.
Right.
Where God is speaking and scripture or stories of how God has moved before, the Holy Spirit highlights to you, and all of a sudden, in a moment, you know exactly what you're supposed to do.
Right.
Or you know like the framework of how you should move forward, and that actually releases faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the and tying this back to identity formation, like that's hearing the voice of the Father.
Yeah.
Of who we're supposed to be and what we're called to do is so important. It releases faith, and you know, by faith we're able to accomplish much more than we'd able. I mean, Hebrews 11, the great hall of fame of faith.
Exactly.
We're able to accomplish much more than we ever could by ourselves, you know, because of faith that God gives to us, and He empowers us in faith, and we please Him, and we work with Him. We wind up working with the power of the Holy Spirit as we move in faith. And so, being able to stay in faith, being able to, it really comes down to. Hearing God's voice over who we are and what we're supposed to do.
Awesome.
Like just, you know, if we try and boil it down to really simple, steps or simple matters, I think that's really how I see it. So
it's great. Encountering the Supernatural is a book that Merle has written. He's co-written that with our mutual friend, Kevin Kazemi, and yours truly. And again, it tells you how to discover God's presence and power for your life, right? The kind of stuff we're talking about right now. So check out the show notes if you're interested in that. And also check out the show notes if you want to know more about Merle and some of the things that God's doing in him and through him with Devoner National, et cetera, et cetera. That's all on the show notes. Check that out. Now,
if I could just, I want to give a little plug for that book.
Do it,
please. One of the things that we unpack in there is learning how to value your own relationship with the Lord and kind of the steps you go through in walking with Jesus.
Yes.
You know, have you ever, maybe not for you, Larry, you know, you're next to St. Peter, but like, you know,
not the case.
I think there's times where like I'm sitting in a service, right? Or I'm hearing somebody speak and I hear the testimonies of God in their life, you know, and it's so amazing. It's so stirring. But then like almost this guilt can slip in or this shame can slip in and be like, am I even born again?
You know,
like
we all went through that.
Right. Yeah. And I feel like that's a tactic actually of the enemy, right? To bring that guilt or shame in, to try and slip that in, where we actually wind up devaluing the relationship we have with Jesus and the journey we're on with Jesus because of somebody else's testimony. Oh, I have to be like them. And if I'm not like them, then I'm not, you know, in the middle of God's will. And that's just not true. So learning how to value your day-to-day relationship with Jesus and not compare it to other people, but just keep, you know, one thing, doing the next thing.
Yeah. Right?
Like putting one foot in front of the other and walking with Jesus and learning to hear his voice. You know, there's no shortcuts to that.
That's so true.
And yet he's so gracious and so faithful. And, you know, sometimes you hear those testimonies. And I mean, I've seen things that God has done, and it never feels like the testimony.
Right.
Like when you're about to witness a miracle, it doesn't feel like the testimony. Like you share the testimony, oh, this is what we were having faith for. This is what we were praying for. And all of a sudden, God did this. And like everyone gets goosebumps, right? Like, whoa, right? in that moment, let me tell you, like right before you pray for somebody to be healed, right? Like it, you're like, oh Lord, if this doesn't work,
that's
like,
right.
I'm going to look, you know, you feel so vulnerable. You feel so insecure. You feel all those things. You're just, life is out there on the altar.
Yeah.
You know, you're just like, God, I lay down every sense of pride that I have, you know, and just to step out in faith, and then God does a miracle. Right.
Mm.
And so, I think recognizing the vulnerability, that place.
Yeah.
I think maybe we, as leaders, we need to talk about that more.
I agree.
You know,
just say, be real about that.
Right. Exactly. Like the conditions you feel right before God does something is fear and anxiety, frustration, or whatever, you know.
Is like, God going to really show up here, right?
Totally. Yeah.
Exactly. Talk to us about staying enamored with Jesus, because I've heard you talk about that so often. I'd love that.
Yeah, so it's Luke 10 where Martha invites Jesus into her house.
Yeah.
So Jesus is coming through with his entourage, right? And she takes the initiative on her life. You know, she takes the initiative. It says that she invited Jesus into her home. And in the hospitality culture of the Middle East, right? Like if you can imagine, if you could just put yourself there in a moment, right? Like there's this place of being hospitable to strangers. Mm-hmm. And this isn't just a stranger. This is a well-known person. It's, you know, this preacher that's been going around and so it's the preacher and everyone who's following the preacher is now coming into your home, and she's opening her home. Mm. She wants to host well, you know, she wants things nice. I mean, just like you and I, if we were inviting somebody that we would say is a very important person, we're like, you know, clean up, make sure everything looks good, you know, make sure everyone's hosted well, all that kind of thing. And so she's busy running around, and she's, you know, she sees Mary, right? Her sister sitting at the feet of Jesus, just listening to him speaking. And in that culture, there's tons of expectations, especially on women.
Sure.
You know, for hosting.
Of course.
Right. And so the scripture doesn't tell us, you know, but I can imagine, like, if you put yourself in that place, like, I'm sure Martha's like giving the side eyes to Mary, like, you know, nodding her head, like, come and help me.
I need help now.
Right. Like, why are you sitting there? I need help. You need to help me pull this off well, right? Like this hosting thing well. We've invited these important people into our house, you know, and like, come on, help me get up, you know, and stop ignoring me, you know? And so I think probably, you know, that eventually didn't work. And she's like, okay, so now I'm going to try some public shame, right? So she just comes and blurts out like, Jesus, why don't you tell Mary to help me? Like, you know, like, and Jesus turns to Martha and just says, Martha, Martha, you know, you're so anxious about many things, but Mary has chosen the best part that will not be taken from her. And so I love this for multiple reasons. Number one is Jesus does not come against the hospitality culture at all. Like, you know, that's totally fine. And he deals, you know, she's kind of pointing out, you know, some issues she thinks Mary needs to change in, and Jesus comes in and he deals exactly with her issues. He's like, I see the anxiety in your life. I see that you're anxious. Mm-hmm. And isn't that what God does? Like every time we're like, God, how can that person do that? How can that person say that? And God comes right in and just kind of ignores all that. And he comes right to the heart of our issues.
Yeah.
And that's what he does with Martha. And really, you know, we see, and this is what I like to say, is that like Martha was busy trying to impress Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so many times we can be, you know, fall into that where we want to do it well, God, for you. We want you to be blessed by what we do. We want to hear that well done, good and faithful servant, right? And Martha was busy trying to impress Jesus, and Mary was busy being impressed by Jesus, where she was in this place of being enamored with his presence, enamored with him. And so I think, you know, as leaders, as people, as believers, staying in a place where we are enamored by him, where we are focused on allowing him to impress us instead of moving into that place of works or performance mentality of, you know, I mean, we are called to do things well. We are called to do, you know, have a high level of excellence and all of that. But from this heart of Mary, where like the best thing that's actually needed is to be at his feet and to hear his voice.
Mm.
And it allows us to stay in a place of faith and allows us to stay in a place of love and affection and just never losing that, I think, is important as a leader.
Mm. you know, I really sense God all over what you're talking about right now. I'd like you to pray.
Yeah.
Pray for everyone who's listening from around the world right now that God would take us to a place in Him where we would be so enamored with Jesus. Would you pray for us?
Sure. Father, I thank you for all that you have for every person listening here today. I thank you for your love for them. I thank you that you see all of our issues. You see all of our anxieties. You know our weaknesses. And even as David said, search me and know me. Right. Oh God, reveal my anxious hearts. You know, all my anxious thoughts and all of these things, God, we have all of these things rolling around inside of us. And Lord, I ask for the ability to silence every voice that is different from your voice in Jesus' name. Over every person listening here today, God, that we would continue to be enamored, that we would continue to be impressed by you, by your voice, by your word, by your rhema into our lives. God, that you would frame our worlds like you talk about in Hebrews, that the word of, the worlds were framed by the word of God. Lord, we invite you to come and frame our world. We invite you to come and frame our internal world, our emotions, God, and our soul. And Lord, I just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would minister to every person listening here today. I thank you that you are not, you're not trying to disqualify anybody, Lord, but you're drawing each one of us into closer walk with you, closer relationship with you.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus, we choose to set the eyes of our heart upon you today. We choose to set the eyes of our affection upon you. And respond to you as your lover. We thank you for your love for each one of us. We thank you for your intimacy that you draw us into. And we thank you for faith that comes and is stirred by hearing your voice and hearing your words. Bless each person in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Merle Shank, that was fantastic. Again, for everyone listening today, remember the book, Encountering the Supernatural, and get that on Amazon, any place where you purchase books. And also, anything else you want to know more about Merle and some of the things we talked about today, check out the show notes for that. So, again, this is the Larry Carter Leadership Podcast, where we ask God to show us changes we can make in our lives. I mean, they might be small changes, but changes that will cause major differences in our lives in the future so that we can see Jesus bless people all over the world in major, major ways. So God bless you. We look forward to seeing you again back here next week for another episode.
Thank you for listening to Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. If you want more information about any of Larry's books, daily devotionals, small group resources, or any other teachings, go to LarryKreider.com.